You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
So we're on the last Sunday of our series on sex and sexuality called Let's Talk About Sex. And in the course of the conversations during this series and leading up to this series, I've learned and relearned that sex can be wonderful and sex can be very problematic and cause great damage. Presbyterian author Frederick Buechner famously said, like nitroglycerin, sex can be used either to blow up bridges or to heal hearts. I don't know much of anything about nitroglycerin, but if indeed it can blow up bridges, then it seems to me we need to learn how to handle it and be very, very careful with it. We need to be intentional, purposeful, and safe with it, like we do with sex. And if nitroglycerin can really heal hearts, then it seems to me we need to learn as much as we can about it and how to use it appropriately and wisely and well. Just like we need to learn about sex and sexuality. This all makes me think of stewardship. Stewardship, kind of a churchy word, but that's how we talk about the gifts that God has given us. In a narrow sense, stewardship is about church finances. We have a stewardship campaign to help support the church operating budget. That's stewardship in its most basic sense. But in a broader and biblical and maybe more authentic sense, stewardship is about using what we've been given in appropriate ways. How to make use of the time, talent, and treasure entrusted to our care for the common good, for the sake of God's kingdom. Every Sunday in the worship service, we have a time of offering where we think about how to offer our gifts and how to offer our time, talent, and treasure. And those of you who've worshiped with us regularly have hopefully heard me say that the offering is not simply about money. It's about how we live our lives, the choices we make, the things that we say and do. And maybe we need to be thinking about offering time, stewardship time, in terms of our sex and sexuality. God's given us the gift of sex and sexuality. God's entrusted to our care these wonderful and frail human bodies. God's blessed us with relationships and the gift of touch and sensuality and orgasms. All of these things are gifts that have been given to us, and we're called to be intentional and purposeful and use them wisely and well, just as we are with our money, with our time, with our various talents and experiences, to appropriate them well, to glorify God, to try to make the world a better place. So our scripture reading for today comes at the end of a long letter that the Apostle Paul wrote about theology and culture, and his concluding words are really encouragement on how to live, and almost like a call to faithful stewardship of time, talents, treasure, human body, human life. I encourage you to listen to these words, which Arlene shared with us earlier and taught us how to sign them earlier. Thank you for that, Arlene. I encourage you to listen to these words and think about the gifts that have been entrusted to your care, including sex and sexuality. Think about your sexual hopes and experiences and your life in general. Listen for God's word. Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. Pastor and author Rob Bell has a fascinating book on sex and sexuality, and it's got the intriguing title, Sex God. And the subtitle kind of captures the essence of the book. The subtitle of the book is Exploring the Endless Connections Between Sexuality and Spirituality. He offers musings on biblical texts, on theology, and how we live our lives. And then near the end of the book, he points out that the Bible ends with a vision of the new heaven and the new earth, with the image of marriage, with that sense of expectation of relationship. In Revelation chapter 21, right near the end of the Bible, we read, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." This sense of unity, of coming together, of two people about to get married is made as an analogy of the heavens and earth and God coming together. And in his book, Rob Bell talks about sex, consensual, mutual, respectful, healthy, safe sex, as a brief moment of escape from all the chaos of the world, all the hurt, a time when all is right. And he asks the intriguing question, is sex a picture of heaven? A glimpse of this new heaven and new earth. As I read that, I thought, this is a fascinating, upbeat way to end this book. But there was one more chapter. In that final chapter, Rob Bell tells about a wedding that he officiated for a couple that came together with a lot of history, a lot of scars, a lot of wounds, a lot of previous relationships that didn't end well. But they were very much in love. It was an outdoor wedding. They celebrated their love, they celebrated the wedding, and they released balloons, symbolically letting go of all their past hurts and burdens and scars. But as Rob Bell accounts in the book, just a year or two later, the relationship went sour, and the couple ended up getting a divorce. I was kind of surprised that he's ending the book like this, but then he wrote that he was doing it because life is risky and life is messy, just sort of acknowledging that reality that we all live in, that it's not always a fairy tale happy ending for us. But in the midst of the riskiness, in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the scars and the hurt, Rob Bell writes, "I have to believe that we can recover from anything. I have to believe that God can put anything, anyone back together. I have to believe that the God Jesus invites us to trust is as good as he says he is, loving, forgiving, merciful, full of grace." Over these past 6 weeks and long before this series started, I heard stories from people about risky situations, about messy situations, about painful situations, stories of hurt and regret, frustration, confusion, yearnings of hope, of new life, of new possibilities. And in all those stories, I have yet to meet the person who has sex and sexuality all figured out. Anyone who knows all the answers or is living a perfect life like that. So we journey onward together, imperfect, with the mistakes of the past, with the hurts that we carry in our frail and flawed bodies, doing the best we can to remember that God is indeed loving, forgiving, merciful, and full of grace. In other words, we need to do the best we can to remember that we're all beloved children of God. If you were worshiping in person in the sanctuary today, you would leave the sanctuary with a little sticker that looks like this. Simple words, "You are loved." Now, I'm sad that we're not physically together today, but we do have plenty of these stickers. You can contact the church office. We'd be happy to send you one. You can stop by during the week. We'd be happy to offer you one. Maybe you need it for you. Maybe you need that reminder that you are a beloved child of God. And maybe there's someone in your life that needs to hear that message too. Someone who might be broken or hurting or struggling or maybe hasn't gotten this message from a church over the years. So we'll get more stickers if we need them. We have plenty here in the office right now. I'm more convinced than ever as we conclude this series that we need to keep telling one another the truth of this simple and clear message. We are beloved children of God. You are a beloved child of God, however you are, wherever you are, whatever you've done, we're all in the same boat like that. And we need to keep repeating that message and doing the best that we can to soak up that love, because so many of us are scarred and hurting. And too many of us have caused some scarring and hurting in other people. Nadia Bowles Weber concludes her book called Shameless by talking about how we can live with our scars, how we can live with our imperfections, with our flaws, encouraging us to do the hard work of appreciating our bodies and discovering a healthy and vibrant sexuality and loving each other in healthy and appropriate ways. Towards the end of the book, she shares a poem called Baptism. That title's important. It's a poet named Ted Thomas, a poem that I've seen in several places, and it goes like this. Cold wind, I help my father into the shower. With his good hand, he grips my arm for support. Inside, he sits like Buddha on a plastic stool and waits for me to begin. I drench him with warm water, soap his head, his back, the flabby stomach, the private parts private no more. I had not before seen my father's nakedness, nor the changing contour of his being, his growing helplessness. His brown skin glistens, and I think of him as a young man on the night of my conception, panting, capable, shining with sweat and definition, the soft hands of my mother grasping his shoulders. I pat him dry. He lets me dress him in the white hospital clothes, oil his hair, put him to bed, and forgive him. With baptism, we enter into the new life that God offers us, knowing that we're forgiven, knowing that we're loved, and knowing that we're embodied. Baptism is a very physical thing, often with a little baby. We're born into these incredible vessels called bodies, with the nitroglycerin-like gift and responsibility of sex. We're broken and hurting in all sorts of ways. We need to keep replenishing our souls with the message of love, the love of God, and do what we can to help others heal as well. So we remember that Jesus himself was born in the flesh, baptized, came among us to dwell as a human full of grace and truth with a message of forgiveness and love, with a call to live a responsible life, a life of love. So tomorrow's Valentine's Day. It's a great day to celebrate love. I've got my wife some flowers already. But it wouldn't be very smart of us to celebrate love just one day a year, would it? We need to talk about love and celebrate love and acknowledge love all throughout the year, not just on a day in mid-February. And in the same way, having a six-week series about sex and sexuality, talking about sex and sexuality, that's great. But we need the conversations to continue. There's a lot we haven't covered in our time together. So even though let's talk about sex is ending, I guess we need to keep talking. We need to keep talking. We need to keep listening. We need to keep helping one another on the journey of healing and hope and discovering the abundant life. Maybe the next time you hear something in church about stewardship, you can think about how you're doing as a steward of your body and your own sexuality. Maybe you get one of these stickers and display it proudly for yourself or give it to someone who needs it. And maybe you'll really take to heart that message that you are a beloved child of God, that everyone you meet is a beloved child of God. And maybe we can all continue praying for one another, encouraging one another, so we can do our best to keep alert, to be courageous and strong, and to let everything we do be done in love. Thanks be to God. Amen.